November 8, 2017, it's the Wife from Pedro Show. Watch for Pedro show. Had to scramble a little bit because got to Brother Matt's and Brother Matt wasn't there. And then we had very important guests over in the Netherlands. And so I had to get back to Pedro and get things going there. And I'm very fortunate to have Wim and Gideon of Paranoid State all the way through the magic of those engineers in Estonia via Skype. Welcome aboard, Wim and Gideon.
Yeah, and we also have the Mortaya, drummer man, also here. So, yeah.
I didn't get to meet him, though. He wasn't at the Nijmegen gig.
No, he wasn't there, no. But he's here now, so yeah. So we're
and what's his name? His name?
Martijn,
okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I know a Dutch guy named Martijn. He played bass in Porno for Pyros. Great cat.
Oh, hey, he's a Dutch guy.
Yeah. Did you know that? Yeah, he's a Dutch dude. He's been living in SoCal a long time now. And I really like him. He's an incredible bass man and a beautiful person. I think his last name, Lenoble, so kind of French.
Yeah, okay. But did he play in Jane's Addiction also?
Well, Jane's Addiction was Eric Avery.
Yeah, that was also a Dutch guy, right? Or
Eric Avery?
Yeah, or
maybe far back in his past.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Martijn was actually from Holland, first generation. There was a guy helping them out. I can't remember his name. He's a nice guy, bass man. Chris Cheney. That's who's been helping out Jane's Addiction after Eric Avery. Okay. But the original man was Eric Avery. Martijn Lenoble, a powerful pirate. Anyway, let's talk about Paranoid State. Let's talk about even before Paranoid State. Let's talk about musical journeys one at a time. Who goes first?
Okay, who goes first? Do I go first?
You go ahead.
You want to know what
this you win? Okay, Wim, what's your what's your oldest musical memory you have, Wim?
Yeah, my oldest musical memory I think was my mother was playing a record, and there was this sound, and I asked her what's that sound, and said that's an electrical guitar, and when I heard that sound, I knew what I had to do. You know what I mean? That triggered something in my mind. When I first heard,
you got to be right on the microphone, Wim, or we can't hear you.
This is better?
Yeah, if you go away from the mic, it drops out.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I will do it like this. So, shall I start again?
So, the first thing, your oldest memory is you hearing electric guitar from a record your ma played. And you knew when you heard this. How old were you when this happened?
I think maybe like 4 years old, I guess.
4 years old. And can you remember? Can you remember the song?
Yeah, it was something really stupid. It was like a record with country and western music by a German Schlager singer.
Schlager, yeah. Germans. So, no, I've noticed the Germans have this thing for U.S. country music. Schlager, yeah. It kind of goes. It kind of goes way back. It's not that recent, yeah. So you heard some Schlager stuff, and there was some electric guitar. Did anybody in the house there play music?
Yeah, my mother plays in a brass band. She does. She now is in her 70s. She still does it, and she was doing it already when I was a kid. So I grew up with my mother playing an instrument.
Yeah, what instrument?
She played the horn.
What kind of horn?
An alt. I don't know what's the English word for it, but it's like it's sort of an instrument in the brass band. So
French horn.
No, not a French horn.
Not a French horn. Maybe baritone horn. Maybe baritone horn.
Maybe, I don't know. We can look it up later.
Tuba. Was it big?
It was I think you could see it like a mini tuba.
Okay, that's probably a baritone horn. It's probably a baritone horn. I tried to play; it was too difficult.
An alt or a baritone, one of those. Yeah.
Okay, Wim, did you take a music in school?
Yeah, we had some music lessons, but I went to music school when I was 12 to learn the drums.
Okay.
And I got some schooling there, so you know the.
You mean you never you never were interested in playing baritone horn?
I tried, but it was not for me.
Okay.
It was what I said, listening to an electric guitar, it was just it for me, you know, because.
Yeah, but you went to drums first.
Yeah, but drums, it was more like a coincidence, because they needed drummers for the brass band. So my mom said, isn't the, and then I was thinking, maybe, well, when I start to play drums, that could be a ticket to rock and roll, you know? So,
Well, if you want to know my opinion is, if you could play drums, you could play any instrument, because it's all about rhythm.
Yeah, maybe.
I really think it's a fundamental instrument. Can you tell me the first record that you bought?
It was 20 Greatest Hits by the Everly Brothers.
Everly Brothers, yeah.
Yeah.
Great singers.
I was 11 years old. Yeah.
Acoustic guitar. Can we move on over to Gideon?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Gideon, what's your oldest musical memory?
Well, there was a lot of music in my house. My father was from the Caribbean, and he was also a drummer. So he introduced me to a lot of reggae music, like Bob Marley and stuff. And he owned a lot of records from Earth, Wind and Fire, Stevie Wonder, and that kind of stuff. So I was pretty much obsessed with it right away.
Do you have an early memory?
The only thing that I can remember is like dancing in the living room to Bob Marley and Earth, Wind and Fire and Santana and all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
So,
I got to see Bob Marley. I got to see Bob Marley in 1979. He was UCLA. He was quite a great dancer, great singer.
I'm so jealous. Yeah.
The band was very tight too. Family Man, incredible bass man. So
Family Man, yeah.
So
that sounds great.
So your father's a drummer. Was he playing in bands?
Yeah, he was playing in his he was from Curaçao and he had a band with a couple of friends.
I know about Curaçao.
Like what?
I know about Curaçao because Kay.
Curaçao,
And Kay lived there. The lady who played bass in Black Flag and the other member of Dos. Yeah, she spent a few years as a young girl in Curaçao and even learned Dutch. Yeah.
Yeah, she can also speak Dutch.
Well, when she was a girl, it's been many years. But she told me as a girl it was very beautiful. It was part of the ABC Islands off Venezuela.
Yeah. Bonaire, Curaçao. Yeah.
Okay, so what was the first record you bought?
I think my first record was, I think it was pretty late. I was already in my teens, and I think I bought like a hip-hop record. I think it was Public Enemy, but I'm not sure. But that's one of the first records I bought, and I'm also a huge hip-hop fan, so I have a lot of hip-hop records.
Okay, what about an instrument? How did you get involved with an instrument?
Well, my friends in the neighborhood started a band, and there was a guitar player and a drummer, and they just played some Metallica covers and that kind of stuff, and I was really interested in what they were doing, and they needed a bass player, so I just started playing bass.
That's not too untypical of a story, especially in the old days, because no one wanted to rock the bass. People were stupid, but people getting smarter, don't worry about that. Can we move on to Mark Tine?
Yeah.
Mark Tine, can you tell me your earliest musical memory?
I think my father was also in a brass band, and he.
What did he play? Well, I lost you. Yeah, the brass band needs what? It needs a drummer.
No. My dad played in the brass band.
But how did you get on drums?
Let's
go back to your memory. Your earliest memory is hearing him play drums.
No, well, he played the baritone.
Okay, baritone horn. Okay.
Yeah. But I think one of my first memories, and I was a bit older, but I started doing like papers, bringing papers around in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And,
delivering newspapers.
Huh?
Delivering newspapers.
Yeah. And my nephew, I got like a big record collection, and I just got my first Walkman.
Yeah.
So he was copying stuff for me.
Making you mixtapes.
Yeah. So I got the soundtrack of Judgment Night.
Okay.
And KSID from Sepultura.
Sure.
And I think those, I repeatedly listened to those tapes. I totally wrecked the tapes.
How did you get on the drums? Did you do drums in school?
Because my dad was playing in the brass band.
Yeah.
They were also like motivating the kids.
Yeah.
And so I got on I got on the drums.
So you got to actually play his drum set.
No, he was playing baritone, so he doesn't have a drum kit.
Oh, okay. I'm getting mixed up here. He played baritone horn, but he wanted in the band on drums. You got to talk in the mic. I can't hear you.
I found out a drummer that I switched to guitar later. So I'm originally a drummer.
The sound's really bad, guys. I'm going to go to some music.
Thank you. I was decalibite last year, and since then it has been a long, horrendous nightmare. Reality has punched through, and it doesn't seem to revise itself as neatly as on the nighttime news. There are no distractions to spare me from looking into my own ugly mind, no way to ignore my projects and my life left undone. But there is an upside to all of this. I'm learning to think. After a lifetime of being raised on television, nurtured and led by the box, my mental process glistens anew. The cicada out of its ridiculous hibernation, ready for a rich, short life. I turn to my books and my poetry to uplift me. These things I can hold and guide with my influence. By being commercially stimulated and free to germinate ideas. Oh, watchtower of an illiterate nation, it's tough to be one's own again and have to decide for yourself, is this bad or good? There is no indifference in reality. Is it too late to live this life over again? Other people have houses with no books. Their minds have little conversation. Too busy in this age to read, to think, to speak. I hate to become relying only on electronic images and clicking those plastic buttons. Our vocal communication led to print. Where will television lead us?
Watch for Pedro show, you know, from Paranoid State. You know, people, I forgot to tell you what we started the show off with. It was John Coltrane doing The Promise live in Copenhagen, October 25, 1963. John Coltrane, of course, is classic quartet. Paranoid State right after that, our guest for this edition, Hear the Call. And then we just heard now a couple tunes from their first album, because Hear the Call is from their brand new album. This is from the first one, and These Dead End Streets, Paranoid State. Then we heard brand new from Fightin' Bag of Cans. That's out of England, I think Manchester. Healers with Beans, that's east side of west side of Chicago, sorry. Orthodox out of Sevilla. Marco Serrato had him on the show last week. Yeah, he was really talking about this thing, the genre metal. Like, I don't know, it seems to me music's music, but it's okay. Marcha de la Santa Sangre, yeah, because he's now moving on to get a degree in school with double bass, avant-garde, and he was talking to me all about this when he was younger. It was such a big deal, this idea of metal, and even the name of the band, Orthodox, because like there was more than one way to play metal. Of course, with me, all that doesn't mean much because it's all music, you know. I know marketing people have to have names for different styles, but I like confusing marketing people. Nels Klein with Lady Gabor. Talk about a confusing guy, Nels Klein, right? He makes music. He can play anything you want. You want hard rock? Okay. You want some spacey stuff? Okay. Lady Gabor off his Lover's album. Joe Brewer, Jack Brewer's cousin with out of Madison. Great drummer man out of that town, Clyde Stubblefield, we lost earlier in the year. Hidden Rifles, brand new, out of Cleveland, Ohio. That's Matt Waskovich, and I think Walter from the Swans, but I'm playing bass there. And then finally, Paranoid State with The Livid Ghost, the first album. Let's talk about Political State. How did all three of you guys meet?
Well, we knew each other a bit from the music scene, the hardcore punk scene here in Holland.
Right.
We played in a lot of bands. We played in a lot of bands at the same time. But at the time, he once asked me, "Do you want to start a band with me?" And like a bit in the vein of Rise of Spring, you know, from Washington D.C.
Rise of Spring, yeah. Sometimes people refer to that band as a first emo band.
Yeah, Guy,
I remember I did a gig, and something was wrong with my bass, and then Guy was the bass man in that band, and he loaned me his bass, and the neck was all cracked up, it was pinching my skin, my palm. Now, you came and saw me in Nijmegen, but you guys are not a Nijmegen band. You had to drive to go to that gig, right?
We had to drive, we made a road trip.
So where are you from?
Utrecht
in Amsterdam. Okay.
Yes.
So obviously Amsterdam had a huge scene. The X is from there, and right. And
that's right. Yeah.
Actually, the X goes back to Minutemen days.
Yeah, they're late 70s, early 80s.
They go way back. I got to play a gig, the first gig of last tour. What do you call yours? GW Sock.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's the greatest. I love this guy. But the whole band, the whole collective, everything is so great. So you guys were coming out of this scene. You're young guys going to the shows. And what, you all three met at a gig?
I guess, yeah. We you know, when you go to the shows, you go to the same venues all the time. So you meet, you get acquainted. Well, Matani asked me, "Do you want to start a band in this kind of style?" And I was already playing in a fast trashcore hardcore band.
Yeah.
And I had some ideas. I couldn't fit in with the other band, so I immediately jumped to the occasion. So like, yeah, let's do this, you know. And then we had to find a bass player, and I was looking for who can we ask? And then I was thinking about Friedman because he is. Like, I think the best bass player on the scene, so just try it, can do it. And he said yes, so within a couple of seconds he said yes, and then we went to practice. And,
this is how you found Gideon, right? How'd you find Gideon?
I knew him from the punk scene.
You already knew him.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. And I already see this guy who can play the bass, you know, if he can add something to, really add something to a band, let's play. Don't play along with the guitar, but do your own stuff and
more independent.
In case, I can actually really put something there, you know, with the bass.
I think I know what you mean, Wim. Sometimes, because sometimes some guitar players, they want the bass player to do almost exactly what he's doing, but just an octave lower. And then some other people, they want the bass to kind of counterpoint.
Yeah, and that's I like the counterpoint.
See, much better. When you talk up close like that, it's much more clear, please.
Like this? Okay, yeah.
No, more close, more close.
Like this.
Yeah.
Better? Okay, cool. Yeah. And I like the counterpoint, you know, when you have the guitar riffs.
Yeah.
And the bass starts playing and it totally elevates the whole riff, you know, and that's what I really like.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, do you guys remember your first gig together?
I'm sorry?
Your first gig together as Paranoid State.
Yeah, that was in 2015, like 2.5 years ago now, yeah.
And what was it like?
It was it was funny because we play in bands for a long time, but this was a very special show for me, and I remember the feeling in the second song. Everything fell into place, and I thought, okay, this is really going somewhere. That feeling, you know. And when they played the last song after the last chord, I felt very good about it. So
was it? But it was scary, right? I mean, I can relate. They're always scary for me.
Yeah.
And where was it at? I'm curious.
Well, it was in Harlem.
Harlem?
Yeah,
we got a place.
The original Harlem.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we got a Harlem, too.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty musical town, believe it or not. Yeah, the Apollo, that's the big club in Harlem.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, what was his name? Michael Henderson. He was playing bass for Stevie Wonder, and Miles Davis came to the Apollo. He says, I'm going to take your bass player, Stevie Wonder. And he did. Yeah, he's the guy playing the real simple parts on Bitches Brew, even though everybody else is playing fusion. Michael Henderson, yeah, he's holding it down.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting story. You guys, you really like the feel of that first gig, huh? So this
is
something you wanted to do. So when do you go in to record the first album? Dropping out. I can't hear you. Can't hear you.
Like this?
I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Gideon, you talk.
Okay, Gideon.
Here I am.
Gideon, I can hear really clear. Why? Where is Gideon's mouth compared to your mouth?
I'm like right in front of the laptop. Maybe that's why.
Yeah, because you sound really good, and Wim sounds like he's in Siberia.
I also have a loud voice.
maybe he's got to get right next to you instead of behind you.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Go ahead, Wim.
Right. Try again, like this.
Yeah. Now I hear you good.
This is better. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Okay, but actually,
the first album
we recorded actually before the first gig.
You actually did? Wow, you got all those songs done. Okay.
Yeah, we had all those songs. Because we were actually trying to just make a demo. We had a couple of songs, like the songs you are all on the album now.
Yeah.
Even one actually finished, but we tried to make a demo, and the demo turned out so well that some people were willing to release it. So before the first gig, we already had the album out.
Wow, because most people, they're looking for material to get enough together. That was a smart idea. But it's something
it's something you didn't plan, though.
It just turned out that way.
Yeah, we practiced actually like a year before we did our first show.
Wow.
Yeah. Just try to become as tight as possible.
Great idea. Great idea.
Yeah.
Okay, look, it's at the end of the first hour, November 8, 2017, Dish of Waffle Pedro Show, special guest, Paranoid State. Hold tight for hour two. November 8, 2017, it's the second hour, the Waffle Pedro Show.
Come on,
Watch for Pedro show. We start off the second hour with, yes, Paranoid State's opus. Its nickname used to be The Ballad, called Damage Done. And it's the big daddy off of the new album. Actually, it's the name of the album, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so... Yeah.
The idea was to name the album after this song because it's such a specific song, so you put it on like a pedestal, you know?
Ah, yeah, good idea. Kind of, yeah, the centerpiece.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That makes good sense, Wim. Then we heard Guided by Voices, was the brand new album, but he's already got another record out. This guy, Bob Pollard, 101 albums. You guys got a little catching up to do. Okay, so do I.
Yeah.
And Jenna Rock's Gray X, then the Breakfast Cowboy out of Portland with Brian's the Brain Song, Maximilian the First, Tiny Band. I got to play with these guys in Roma last month. Paradisal, On Dolphin, yeah, trippy band from up north, maybe San Francisco City, I think. Laugh It Off. A San Francisco band I'm going to get to play with on my 60th birthday. I'm going to celebrate my 60th B-Day up in San Francisco, up the city. And these guys are going to open Maya and the Revolutionary Hell Yeah. And the song is called Phone Is Dying. I don't think me and D. Boone would have ever wrote a song like this when we were teenagers because we didn't have phones that were dying. Everyone Is Dirty, another band from the city. Yeah, lady singer too. I'm Okay. Mailmen from down here, SoCal, Reputation. And their buddies Kurt Stifel in the Swing Shift, brand new Lazy Daisy. And finally, Paralyzed by Paranoid State. Tell me something about the process Paranoid State has to writing songs, Wim and Gideon Martin.
Well, most of the time I write some riffs at home.
This is Wim, people.
I'm sorry?
I'm telling the listeners this is you, Wim.
Yeah, okay, cool. Thanks. So I write some songs at home, and then I try to make more or less a bit of a composition with the riffs.
Yeah.
And then I bring them to the practice room, and we start playing around with it. And we try to make, a song of the riffs, you know, because riffs are not a song, but when you put them together, you try to make make it into a song. So,
sure, absolutely.
Yeah.
A riff is only part of a song.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can be the whole. Sometimes it can be a whole song.
Yeah, if the riff is good and you can groove on it, it can be a song. Like,
for example,
Killing Joke. Killing Joke is really good at that.
The band. Yeah, Killing they Joke. Usually had two parts. There would be the chorus where they would say the title eight times.
Yeah. 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 Okay, this is the chorus. Yeah, no,
yeah, that first album had quite a formula. You say the title.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? Yeah, that's such a great album. I love that first Killing Joke album.
The first Killing Joke record is great. It's amazing.
And
yeah.
If you ask me, it's bands like Tool and stuff like that that's made a whole career off of that band sound.
Yeah, they were like the pioneers.
And actually, they were very experimental because they just didn't stay with that sound. They went to all kinds of places.
The second album was already a step forward, or a different approach, yeah.
With all that tribal drums.
Yeah, exactly. Not different kind of rhythms. Yeah.
Yeah. I saw the tour for the first album. They played the Whiskey, and each guy in the band looked completely different. The bass player looked exactly like Sid Vicious.
Yeah. Yeah.
The guitar player looked rockabilly. The organ player had like G.I. Joe makeup on his face. They were so strange, but they were so good. They had this song called The War Dance. It was so intense. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
But anyway, so you're right. And also, here's another example of one riff being a whole song. TDI, Stooges.
Yeah. Yeah. You should know.
I should know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then there's some stuff like Harry Nilsson, Lime in the Coconut. Never changes. It's one fucking part. A Land of a Thousand Dances. There's a few songs that have been hits that have one part. But anyway, so you show them to the guys, and then they come back with parts, and then you put it together.
Yeah.
I'm curious about, if Damage Done was the ballad, what about this song, Drag Yourself Down?
That's more like a weird kind of a hardcore song, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it has, maybe it's weird because it's not based on power chords, it's based on open chords.
Yeah, like folk, yeah. People, what he's talking about is kind of folk guitar thing.
Yeah.
And maybe a power, hardcore, or some versions of hardcore, a lot of bar chords.
Exactly, and I stay away a bit from the bar chords on that song, yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's listen to it. Live from Pedro Show, we heard Drag Yourself Down, Paranoid State, from their brand new album. Danny Barnes with Truth Got Kicked. I guess that's his opus. Mute Point with Brutus Iscariot. Senior Al, Feel So Easy. And finally, Paranoid State with Shut Me Out. What about Shut Me Out?
You mean lyric-wise or the music?
Just the whole song, the whole trip.
Whole trip. Well, the working title of this one was the D-beat song. Because, you know, I like the D-beat style, you know, Discharge. That kind of...
Discharge, yeah.
You know, maybe, I don't know.
No, England. They were an England band from early 80s, right?
Exactly, yeah. From the UK 82 scene. And I think a lot of bands have this way of you working on songs, you give them a working title of... You get songs remind you of another band, so you give them that name. You know, this was the D-beat song. So, but I don't think it's really D-beat, but that was the working title.
Look, I tell you, yeah. In my case, when I'm writing songs, it's very important to have a title because it gives me focus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Some people I talk to say, title I put on at the end. With me, it's got to come first.
Yeah, working title or the real title.
Yeah. Well, yeah. With me, it's usually the real title, but sometimes it changes. Okay. But I gotta have something, or it's just blowing in the wind, you know?
Yeah, yeah, you have to have a point of focus, yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Gideon, yeah. Wim brings in these licks, what are you thinking?
Yeah. Well, I listen to it, and I try to be as far away as possible from the riffs. I always try to approach it like harmonically. And rhythmically in a bit of an original way. And that we have to make up for the fact that we have only one guitar player. So I have to make it a little bit interesting, like harmonically and melodically. So I always try to think of like weird notes and weird runs and just to make it interesting.
Do you guys get the bass and the guitar together before you bring in the drums?
Mostly we have like a basic drum idea, and I just try to glue the guitar and the drums together. Like, yeah, I think what a bass player should be.
Well, I just asked that because in the Minutemen case, me and Pete Boone always came up with songs together, and then we showed Georgie. But then we grew up together. It was a little different. Look right at the end of the second hour, November 8th, 2017 edition. Of a Watt from Pedro Show, I got a special guest from Netherlands, Paranoid State. Hold tight for hour three. November 8th, 2017, it's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
You fuck your face. You fuck your face. You fuck your face. CIA bought me a trip. I put the tab under my lid. They want to build a shopping mall on the DMZ.
From Pivo Show, started third hour off with Paranoid State from Paranoid State. Then David Gerard and Dana Coley with Life Without a Net. They're over in Boston area. Automatic Sam, Against the Clock. Those are Dutch dudes, but I think, I think they're more north. They might be grown again, guys. ROK Spy, Poison Pill, that's a Matt Jones doing his Pusan thing from South Korea. And finally, Paranoid State with You Lost. Can I talk to Martijn? Martijn.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So it sounds to me like Wim brings in the licks to the practice pad, and then you start getting like a basic rhythm behind it. Then Gideon starts gluing on a bass part, and then maybe you start developing, I don't know, intros, outros. Tell me about it.
Yeah, I think it goes a bit like that. Most of the times, Wim or Gideon has some ideas already about the drums.
Okay.
I'll fill it up with something that feels like a solid groove, or make it. I think I'm searching for it that it can be fast, but also has the swing.
Yeah. Have Paranoid State yet done a song that started with the drums as the writing component?
No, not only drums, no.
Because I'm thinking of a song like Blitzkrieg Bop. That yeah. might have started out with Tommy, huh?
Yeah.
But it was probably Dee Dee. I found out that Dee Dee wrote most of the songs in that band.
Yeah.
In fact, I found out Dee Dee was writing songs even when he was out of the band.
He needed the money.
Yeah, and also Johnny couldn't really write.
No. And they got some songs from Dee Dee when he left the band already because right. he needed money for some reason. I don't know, but
probably health reasons.
That's what I read in his biography.
Yeah, probably for help.
Very interesting book, by the way. By the way, you were talking about Blitzkrieg Bop.
Yeah.
And I heard it was written by Tommy, actually. Yeah, that's what I heard, but correct me if I'm wrong. But,
okay.
Yeah.
What about this song, Paranoids? I mean, why wasn't it on the first album?
Why? It wasn't written yet. I
guess. Good reason.
It's still in the air.
That's a good reason.
Yeah.
Well, what about this song? What about this song here? Where Do We Go?
Oh, it's song is it's kind of some different parts, and yeah, I tried to put them together. I don't know, but. Yeah, the working title of that one was Luther Rising, if that makes any sense.
Who's could do?
Yeah.
Let's listen.
I would jump the occasion because I was thinking, well, then I can put my Husker Du influences in the music, you know? Because I think Husker Du is maybe the most important influence on whatever I do, so music-wise.
Yeah. They're a big influence on me, too, even though they were peers at the same time. You know, me and Deep Moon, we put out the first album, Land Speed Record.
Yeah.
And they had a big influence on us. I mean, but, you know, of course, it'd be very obvious if Minutemen would have copied Husker Du or copied Meat Puppets, copied Black Flag. But those bands were huge influences on us. Bad Brains. Wire, Pop Group. Even with you guys, with the X and stuff. Big influence on us. Okay, so we just heard last music for this edition. Where do we go? Paranoid State. The working title was New Day Rising. Which it seemed to me they were not questioning. They knew something was... I think the next record's called Flip Your Wig. And, Double Knot Spy Car with Jupiter Sunspot there from SoCal here. Grandpa's Ghost out of St. Louis, Missouri with Blues for Sparkle Horse. Round Eye out of Shanghai with Meat and the Boys. Sugar Sugar Honey Pot, Erotic Diljan and the Heretics out of Zagreb. FGH out of Hamburg with Sunset. And finally, River by Paranoid State. River, this intrigued me. What's this title mean? Because in a way, when I play Paranoid State, it does sound like a river, like one big motherfucker.
Hey, that's so cool to hear. Yeah, River, actually, it's like, when you start to explain stuff, it can be a bit corny, of course, but... it was actually written by a feeling of a river, you know, life flows, you know, or something is raging, like a river.
Sure.
And river is so powerful, you know, it can drag you, it can drag you down or whatever, so, and there's nothing you can do where the river is bigger than you.
Sure.
It's written from a feeling, you know, so, yeah.
But you can learn to work with it, for example.
Yeah, you have to make use of it. Yeah.
But for example, the Netherlands.
Yeah.
Because of the Rhine, it's kind of the biggest port in Europe is Rotterdam.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The way to get to the middle of Europe, especially in the old days before airplanes and cars and trains, it was the Rhine, right? So, in a lot of ways, Holland, the Netherlands got a lot of influences from different things because all these boats had to come down this river. So sometimes the river isn't totally dangerous. It can be kind of cosmopolitan. So I'm curious now. Next plan for Paranoid State.
Actually we're already writing the songs already now. So just work on the new release and it would be cool to do a lot of shows, a lot of gigs.
Yeah, what about tour? Has Paranoid State done a tour yet?
Yeah. So, we would love to tour. We did some shows in England, in France, but it would be great to make a tour. Yeah, sure. Yeah. 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 But we're working on it more or less. Yeah. So, yeah.
We didn't do any big tours yet.
You got to get in close. I'm losing. Guys, I can't hear you. You're too far from the mic.
Okay. Here we go. Hey.
There you go. Now I can hear you.
Yeah, we just did some small tours, like weekend tours, or like four dates in England and a couple of dates in Switzerland, France, Germany, and but we are looking for to do some bigger tours maybe next year.
Well, you know, a Dutch one in Holland, you can do 10 gigs.
I think we already played everywhere in the Netherlands.
Okay. And then there's the Flemish part of Belgium.
Yeah.
And then there's the French part of Belgium, too. I mean, there's all kinds of places. That's one thing about Netherlands I've always thought about. Yeah, the weather's kind of tough. But you guys are so close to so many potential gigs.
Yeah, we are playing a lot, like, in this area, like in the Netherlands, and next week we're actually going to play in Belgium.
Okay, great.
So we got enough gigs here, but we actually...
Okay, if people want to find out...
Of course.
If people want to find out about Paranoid State, where can they go on the web?
to our Bandcamp and our Facebook. It's like facebook.com/ParanoidStateHardcore. And you just Google Paranoid State and Bandcamp, and you will be on the right website.
Yeah. Okay, that's great to know. Look, one last thing I'd like to ask you. If somebody younger, or maybe older, but they're just wanting to get into this music racket stuff, what advice would you give them?
Well, yeah. Well, the first thing I would say is it's very important to have, like, a clear musical vision. I mean, I think that is the most important thing. You have to have a very clear musical direction to make it interesting, I think. And you have to be, you don't have to pay attention to any trends. You just have to do what you want and what you like, because trends are just fading.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Yeah.
What do you think, Wim?
You know, when you're playing music for so long, it's more like a part of yourself. So it's hard to detach yourself from that, you know. So to look out from the outside, but I think you have to you have to play your own kind of blues or whatever, you know. You have to find your own
voice.
I'm sorry?
Find your own voice.
Yeah, your own voice. Yeah, your own voice. Your own personality has to come through to what you're doing.
That's
easier said than done. Because
of course, it's
always
a challenge.
Always under influence of so many stuff. And I sometimes ask myself, when I come up with a riff or a couple of words, hasn't anyone done this before, or is this too much like sounding like this or that band? But when you play it with your own band, it starts to sound like yourself, you know. And that's what you have to aim for. You know what I mean?
Look, here's an example.
Yeah.
I can write a book, a novel, and not invent one new word of English, but I can still write an original novel.
Exactly, that's what I mean. Yeah.
That's great stuff. Look, I want to thank you guys so much for being on the show. You're beautiful.
Well,
I love what you're doing. I love your band. I love your music. And I wish you all the success. And keep on keeping on. Get ready for this third one and all these gigs coming up. Everybody, check out the Paranoid State. It's been the November. Thanks again, guys, for being on. It's been the November 8th, 2017 edition of Wofford Pedro Show. Everybody, back next week. Until then, keep your powder dry.